I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The killing of Osama bin Laden has prompted talk in Washington about reconsidering the U.S. mission in Afghanistan. But on the ground, American troops still have a job to do. We're going to focus now on a U.S. initiative in Afghanistan that doesn't usually get much attention. It involves female engagement teams, small groups of women Marines who join their male counterparts on patrol. Reporter Monica Campbell followed one of the teams and sent this report.
It's morning at a small Marine base in Afghanistan. Sheena Adams, a young female Marine sergeant, drags herself out of a sleeping bag, grabs her muddy boots, and steps out of her tent. She joins other Marines to patrol the local village.
One, three, two, one, rest.
Adams, a 25-year-old from Hawaii, and two other female Marines form a female engagement team. Their mandate? Push the counterinsurgency envelope by winning over Afghan women and children. For Adams and her small team, the challenges are enormous. First, they're in war-torn Helmand province, so they carry weapons, wear body armor, and must be ready to fight like any male Marine. But they also get the chance to do something their male counterparts never do. Talk to local women in a part of Afghanistan where females rarely leave the home, much less talk to Americans.
The culture is completely different here compared to both California and Hawaii. We do get to talk with the women here, but it's very seldom and you never see them out.
To reach the women, the Marines must spend enough time in a village for the Afghans to feel comfortable with them. Getting into living rooms and kitchens, places where male Marines are strictly forbidden, is another trick. The Afghan women have to ask a male relative for permission to let the Americans pass through the high mud walls that surround homes here. Once inside, the female Marines must quickly break the ice.
We'll ask them what their names are. We'll ask them how many kids. We'll talk to them about their families and everything like that. They tend to get really excited. And then if we have pictures on us of, like, husbands or kids or whatever, we'll show them.
Adam says that the talk with the Afghan women can range from the usual worries a mom has about getting her kids food and medicine to the more personal.
We had another one. She was 20, maybe. Her husband was 50. She had already had... She was on her third kid. She was pregnant. And she was like, yeah, I need injections to be able to have more kids because I want to be the favorite wife. You know, the more kids I have, he'll like me better. And they fight for the attention.
Insights like that into family dynamics are rare for the Marines to get. The goal is to listen to these concerns and bond as women. That way, the Marines might make connections to help them root out insurgents and build for the future. But it's not easy. For Afghans here, speaking to either side of the war, the Marines or the Taliban-led insurgents, can be deadly. On another patrol, Adams and her team try to expand their reach to women by meeting with the village's only female doctor. She's willing to work with the Marines on a midwife training project. Afghanistan's maternal mortality rate is one of the world's highest. After several cups of tea with the Afghan man who owns the clinic, Adams politely asks permission to see the female doctor. She gets a meeting, but it's kept extremely brief. Curtains are kept drawn so that the male Marines standing guard outside can't see the doctor.
I know they're looking for women that can teach midwife classes. Would you be interested in teaching any other women in the area how to maybe help you or to ones that are further out come in to learn?
The doctor agrees to train midwives and thanks the female Marines for their visit.
Overall, the meeting was good. We're still building the relationships with the new doctor, and the owner of the clinic has always been standoffish with us, but he's willing to work with us. We talked about going more government side and more Jaroa based, and they actually kind of took to the idea a little bit better this time than they did last time we talked about it, so that was really good. And then of course we got to see the female doctor again, and she's always awesome to see. It's only our second time getting to see her because she's either busy or we didn't have a way to talk with her, and she's willing to help teach with the midwives, which is totally awesome. That's it's kind of a hard thing for us to find around here, somebody that's trained already and willing to help, especially for the females. And her being that open to it was really good for us.
But it's too soon to know whether the doctor will be able to keep her word. While she can be empowered to train other women, everyone here also knows that meeting the Marines may trigger a threat by the insurgents. a threat that could force her to flee the village. A few days later, the female Marines launched their most ambitious project in the village, opening a tiny school that would welcome girls. For months, Adams talked to parents about the idea. On the first day of school, the female Marines beam with pride as four little girls wrapped in green shawls enter the classroom. The Marines quickly hand them backpacks as gifts, but soon enough, tribal elders become uneasy. Even the teacher, a literate Afghan security guard who kept his Kalashnikov at hand while he taught, isn't convinced that his village is ready for female students. The Taliban don't even want a school for boys, he says, much less one that accepts girls. So parents will be scared to bring their kids here. Eventually, the girls are asked to leave the school. Adams remains enthusiastic.
It's fine. At least I got to sit in there for a little bit, so I'm happy about that.
But it's clear that Adams and her team hit a wall. Girls in the classroom here is too much too soon. So while the female Marines may get unprecedented access to Afghan living rooms, for the time being, Afghanistan's close-knit and extremely patriarchal society will still determine how much the women Marines can accomplish. For The World, I'm Monica Campbell, Helmand Province, Afghanistan.